This is Spencer King, Editor-in-Chief of AXL. AXL is the American College of Cardiologists' extended learning series featuring conversations in cardiology with the scientists who conduct research in our field and the clinicians who are translating that research into clinical practice. You're about to hear an interview from our latest issue. As an AXL subscriber, you will receive 24 new interviews each month. Plus, depending on your subscription level, you will have access to hundreds of interviews in our digital library. With AXL, you can stream or download your content for convenient offline access to your mobile device. And each interview qualifies for CME credit and MOC self-assessment points. For more information, visit acc.org/AXL. Listen now to a talk Frank Verhoet had with Colin Berry, Chair of Cardiology and Imaging at the University of Glasgow in Scotland. They discuss a randomized, double-blind, placebo-controlled, parallel group, multicenter clinical trial of low-dose adjunctive alteplase during primary PCI. It's called the T-TIME study.
Welcome, Colin. Tell us now, what were the objectives of the study?
The objective of the study was to determine whether this treatment might prevent and reduce microvascular obstruction in the territory of the culprit coronary artery in patients undergoing primary PCI for acute
STEMI. And how often do you see that microvascular obstruction?
It affects half of all patients.
Okay.
Despite apparently successful primary PCI with TIMI 3 flow achieved in perhaps 19 out of 20 patients, 10 out of those 20 patients will have microvascular obstruction.
And how do you recognize that?
The ECG with ST segment elevation persisting at 60 minutes, but the specificity of that metric is high, but the sensitivity is not so high. The referenced method for assessing microvascular obstruction is contrast-enhanced cardiac MRI, and that is the availability of cardiac MR is somewhat limited. And I think this speaks to the under-recognition of this problem in clinical practice, because if you don't look, you don't see.
Okay. And you tried to solve this problem with the low-dose intracoronary infusion of alteplase.
Correct. So alteplase is a fibrin-specific, second-generation, relatively short-acting lytic drug with a half-life of 4 to 5 minutes in the systemic circulation. It's available clinically. It's used that dose to open occluded catheters, for example. So the drug is appealing as a treatment that might be transferable to clinical practice had it been effective. We gave the drug at the start of the primary PCI procedure, early after reperfusion, when thrombus burden is greatest. The rationale was to lyse the residual thrombus to prevent distal embolization and to reduce the amount of thrombus that might lead to microvascular thrombosis, which we know, it's not even a hypothesis, it's well described in the literature through preclinical studies that microvascular thrombosis directly contributes to microvascular obstruction. Of course, there are other pathologies such as edema compressing capillaries externally, which are also relevant.
And did this work out well compared to placebo infusion?
Well, we thought it worked well, was working well, until the Independent Data and Safety Monitoring Committee unexpectedly ended enrollment in the trial. On the 21st of December 2017, it was not the Christmas present that I'd been expecting or wanted, but there was a pre-specified interim analysis for efficacy based on a conditional power threshold on the primary outcome, microvascular obstruction. And at that time, in the available data, in approximately 267 patients, the power was less than the threat, and enrollment was discontinued.
Because of futility.
Because of futility. But the committee did indicate in their letter that there were no safety concerns. And this trial was a phase two trial with objectives to assess for efficacy, safety, feasibility, and mechanisms. And reflecting here today, having presented the results of the study for the first time, I think we have met all of the objectives in this trial, albeit with some unexpected results on efficacy, but we did meet safety objectives, feasibility. The intervention was administered in 99% of the randomized participants. And we've got some interesting information to try and understand the mechanisms of this unexpected result.
So, as a clinician, I would say the microvascular obstruction is probably not thrombotic nature. May I say that?
I think microvascular thrombosis is one of a number of mechanisms. There's a very interesting paper, senior author Niels van Rooyen, from at that time, I think he was working in Amsterdam, with a preclinical study where they demonstrated that fibrin-containing microthrombi populated the viable zone of ischemic myocardium, whereas further into the infarct core, there was frank hemorrhage.
Yeah, okay. Hemorrhage may be the cause, yeah.
And so our hypothesis was that fibrin-containing microthrombi were a therapeutic target for lytic therapy within the viable territory of the infarct zone. And our aim was to try and achieve local reperfusion within viable myocardium to prevent a persistent microvascular obstruction, which ultimately would evolve into frank hemorrhage with capillary necrosis leading to bleeding, local bleeding.
And you saw the same in the placebo group where not a lytic was given.
This is true. Actually, we think there are competing mechanisms exerting benefit and potentially harm. And whilst we were aware of that, we believed that the beneficial mechanisms of fibrinolysis would outweigh thrombin activation. Lytic drugs are known to activate thrombin and also outweigh hemorrhagic transformation. By preserving microvascular perfusion, we aimed to prevent capillary degradation and bleeding.
Yeah, but all patients also heparin, right?
All patients got heparin. Actually, we think the heparin, in line with the therapy within its license, heparin is required with alteplase treatment because of the activation of thrombin and the clotting effect of the drug, which competes with its lysis effects.
Maybe another cause of failed reperfusion on the microvascular level, may that be edema?
Yes. This said, edema resolves over time. Eventually, perhaps not in all patients, and there is, from our group and others, evidence of persistent edema at 6 months, even at 12 months within the infarct territory.
I didn't know that. And maybe also that you embolize atheroma by the primary PCI into the downstream arteries. Is that also a possibility?
So there's learning from our study. It's not in my gift as to whether this therapeutic paradigm has come to an end. I don't know the answer to that. But if we were to do the study again with the knowledge that we have now, we would administer the drug at the end of the procedure in patients who have preserved antegrade flow with a vessel secured by a stent.
I think that would be the solution. We don't know. We learn a lot of this study, but we don't have the final solution, do we?
No.
Okay, Colin, thank you for coming. Thanks for having this interview with you.
Thank you very much.
This is Spencer King, Editor-in-Chief of Axel, and you've been listening to an interview from our recent issue. For more information on how to subscribe to Axel and receive additional interviews published each month, go to acc.org/Axel.